Aren't you glad you're saved?
Yes.
I should say so. Psalm 84, the psalmist says that he'd rather be in the house of the Lord than anywhere else. What a day we have had with the Lord in the midst. Friend, if you are here and you have not enjoyed this day, the trouble is not with us, it's with you. We have been in the presence of the King, as we were reminded earlier today. Now I think you know where I'm going to read from. At least you know the book. Book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 1. We've had a long day, and I see that there are a number of youngsters present. And I think all of you ought to be commended on your patience and so forth. And so I'm going to be as brief as I can be. And you pray to that end, because you know how it is. Sometimes one becomes lengthy. We don't want that tonight. Tomorrow will be the Lord's Day. We want to have a good night's rest and come refreshed with a praise offering to bring to the Lord. So often people come, believers, and they say, well, I get the theme from the first hymn. That's wrong. When the children of Israel came to worship, they brought their offerings with them. And when we come to worship, we should bring our praise offering with us. Now, if each one has a praise offering and he is in tune, a wonderful thing happens. Incidentally, I enjoy the instrumentalists at the organ and the piano. I enjoy keyboard instruments. And I think I mentioned to a sister either today or yesterday, I don't know what instruments there will be in heaven, but I have asked the Lord, if there is a piano there, please let me play it. Now that gives you an idea of how I feel about the keyboard instruments. But as we were saying, our sister played, it sounded good. You know why it sounded good? Number one, every key was in tune. And then she decided which ones to play. Now we must come tomorrow morning in tune. And the Lord, the Spirit, will decide whom to play. And we will all worship in the beauty of holiness. May that be so for Christ's sake. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of valor or wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, we have read three words here, kinsman, next of kin, and kinsman. This is one of the faults and deficiencies of the English language. When you go back to the original, there are three different words that are translated in our English Bible as kinsman. And we lose the beauty of what's before us. And again, I say, young men and young women, if you haven't started, engage in word study. Get the subtle and fine differences between words as God uses them, and you'll be thrilled. Now in verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman. The word there is an acquaintance. Child of God, are you acquainted with the Lord? Visiting friend? Are you acquainted with the Lord? How well are you acquainted with the Lord? How well do you know him? Now mark you, I didn't ask if you know about him. I asked if you know him. Are you acquainted with him? Now it is possible to be well informed about the life and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you never see his glory and don't know him. The width of our knowledge about him is no gauge of the depth of our knowledge. Do you know him? Is he a mere acquaintance? Every time I go to Canada, I meet someone there who comes up and say to me, "You know, I'm one of your cousins. Never saw the person before." Then they proceed to give me a historical background of why we are related. As far as I can see, they're just acquaintances, and maybe not even that, because I wouldn't recognize them the next time I saw them. Friend, brothers and sisters, is the Lord a mere acquaintance? How well do you know him? The story is told of Charles Wesley back in the 18th century. And mark you, he came to the States to preach. And he preached, returning by boat. There was a storm, severe storm, and that boat was tossed to and fro, to and fro. And in the bottom of that boat, there was a group of Christians singing and praying. And Wesley wondered, how can these people be so peaceful and so calm with the storm all around? And when they arrived in England, he said, "I'm going to look them up." And he looked them up and he found them in their meeting still calm, praying and singing. He inquired of them, what was the secret? Now mark you, he was a preacher. The secret was that he was acquainted with the Lord and they knew the Lord. Are you only acquainted with him? Or do you really know him? There's another aspect, Matthew chapter 7. Very important aspect for anyone who is here and you're not sure of your salvation. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 22. Let's start at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils or demons? In thy name have done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Friend, does the Lord know you? It's one thing to say you are acquainted with him. Does he know you? Exceedingly important. And if you're not sure that he knows you as a member of his body and of his family, you may know tonight for sure that he's your Savior. You need not have him as a mere acquaintance whom you have heard about. You may know him in a very personal way. Most important. And you must accept him for yourself. Now, it's very easy. Some people think that salvation is such a difficult thing. I remember one young lady back in New York, very fine young lady, biologist, and we would talk about spiritual things. I like to talk to the folks about things spiritual. It's about the only thing worthwhile, after all. And I asked her, how do you know you're saved? Oh, when I got saved, I felt things going up and down my back. Are you sure the Lord knows you? How were you saved? How did you come to know him? And it's all so simple. All of us have witnessed a wedding ceremony, right? Now, the one thing that the bride does not want on that day is an earthquake or storm or lightning or hurricane or anything. She doesn't want any of those shackling and demonstrative things. The marriage officer says to her, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And he says to him, do you take her to be your lawfully wedded wife? Now, mark you, No storm. No earthquake. They both say, I do. And they're married. That's how you see. Nothing has to happen. Nothing spectacular. You simply say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow morning will be the Remembrance Feast. We will meet to remember the Lord. Friend, you cannot remember a person whom you never met. Do you know him? You can know him tonight. He can be more than an acquaintance. This young girl rushing along. And the man said to her or asked her, where are you going in such a hurry? She replied, I am going to learn about God. He asked, how do you know that there is a God? And she replied, my teacher knows God. Do you know God? Or is he a mere acquaintance? Now when we come to verse 20, we read, Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us. A near relative. How near of kin are you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a distant relative or a near relative? Exodus chapter 17. How near, child of God, are you walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? How firm and how close is that kinsmanship? Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now you know the rest. Now again, young people, always compare scripture with scripture. God doesn't put everything in one place. He wants you to study. He wants you to gain knowledge. And you know as well as I, the thrill of going to school is in gaining knowledge. It's not in getting the diploma. Because after you have the diploma, next 2 weeks you say, so what? Can't even find a job. The thrill is in attaining the heights. The thrill is in learning. Now here are a group of people, and the Amalekites came out after them. I wonder why the Amalekites came after them. And to answer that, Deuteronomy chapter 25. Get in the habit of comparing scripture with scripture. Study the whole Bible. And you'll be thrilled. Exodus says that the Amalekites came out after the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you came forth out of Egypt. Now he's going to explain something that he doesn't tell us in Exodus. How he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Whom did Amalek fight? The stragglers, those that were behind. Child of God, how near are you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you walk far behind, you're going to get in trouble. Keep close to Jesus. You know the story well, but let's turn to it. Luke chapter 22. Nothing like reading it in the Bible. And as we said earlier, even though you know certain scriptures, read them over. Read them over. Our brother mentioned that earlier today in connection with John 3:16. And we mentioned it, I believe, this morning in connection with John 3:16. Never think that you know the scripture so well that you don't have to read the scripture. You know, you come to a meeting like this, oh, I know that scripture. Let the brother recite. Look at it. Well, incidentally, young men, when you quote the scripture, please quote what the Bible says. So often, brethren get on the platform and they quote the wrong thing. Psalm 139. I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Is that right? Absolutely not. I was conceived in sin. Not born. By the time you were born, you were a full-fledged sinner. You see the... thank you very much. Thanks very much. I told you before that at 80 years, the mind begins to play tricks sometimes. But it's not a question of being born in sin. It's a question of being conceived in sin. And you biologists know all about conception. See? How these cells multiply and multiply and multiply. And by the time this child is born, you've got a bundle of sin. Cute little baby, but a bundle of sin. That's why you must train him early. Now, we can't go into that. Let's look at Luke. This matter of following the Lord afar. You'll get into trouble. Luke chapter 23, verse 31. The Lord said unto Simon, Simon. That's interesting. This is another homework assignment. You notice what he said? He called Simon's name twice. Now look through the scriptures and find all the names that the Lord called twice. Abraham, Abraham, Simon, Simon, and all, there are about 7 or 8 of them, and find out why he called them twice. That's homework. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Simon said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Come to verse 54. Then they took him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And you know what happened later on? He denied the Lord. Beloved, don't follow afar off. You'll get into trouble. Satan is waiting for you. Keep close to Jesus. There is danger in following afar off. You don't want him as a mere acquaintance, and you don't want him as a mere relative. Now, the last expression there in our text, Ruth says to Naomi, the man is near of kin to us, and the last one, he is our next kinsman. Can't get any closer than that. Next. That's what we want. To be so close to the Lord, as we have been hearing, that we can't get any closer. So near has God placed us in himself. So very near to God. We cannot nearer be. In the person of his son, we are as near as he. Now that's our position. Child of God, what about your practice? How near to the Lord are you? 3 times in the word of God, Abraham is referred to as a friend of God. John chapter 15. Proverbs tells us, and we did look at it, that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. John chapter 15. Verse 14. The Lord is speaking, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Obedience is the key to being near to the Lord. to having him as your friend. I mentioned that three times Abraham is referred to as a friend of God. And you know what happened in chapter 18 when God was about to pronounce judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, how can I hide from Abraham that which I will do? Do you want to know the secrets of the Lord? Get close to him and he'll tell you his secrets. Read with me, please, in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's pretty close, isn't it? And you get the same thing in chapter 21. I ask you, beloved, who told this disciple to get on Jesus' bosom? Did the Lord say, come and lean on my bosom? No. Book of James. What we want is a nearness to God. I'll tell you how he got on his bosom. John chapter 4 and verse 8. And I believe back in New York, Maryland, we usually have a theme verse for the year. This is the verse for this year. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How did that disciple get on Jesus' breast? He went there. He wasn't invited. Oh, beloved, we can get so near that we cannot be nearer. How near are you to a child of God? Is the Lord a mere acquaintance or a near kinsman, or is he a next kinsman? And it all depends upon us. We decide how near we are going to walk with him. Most important that we should walk with him. Now I quoted that poem, that verse. So near, so very near to God, nearer we cannot be. For in the person of his Son we are as near as he. Ephesians chapter 1. There's a verse there that I like. Now, we get into the same thing that our brother was discussing, you see. There are a lot of verses that I like. And some have more application to the present need than others. But I like this one. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, please look at your Bibles, all. Sometime back, again in New York City, we were considering either purchasing a new meeting place or building one or renovating the place where we were. And we had heard of several of the Lord's people, though not gathered with us, still the Lord's people, who had renovated property and others had built. So we said, well, let's go and see what theirs is like. And I went to one place, and I don't want you to think that I'm making fun of anybody's, shall we say, religion. That's what we call it. But I went into this place, and I was greeted heartily by a sister. And then she said to me, brother, have you received the second blessing? I said, I have them all. Well, that's what it says here. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I've got them all. We read on. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the earth. Oh, I like that verse. There's so much argument. Some, the evolutionists say, oh, the earth is millions of years. And many of the Lord's people, when instructed in the area, say, it's not more than 10 or 12,000 years. Now, I'm not going to argue. Whatever the earth, age of the earth is, we were chosen before the earth was founded. How does that make you feel? You look at the mountains, oh, they're old. Well, God thought of me before those got started. That's what brings joy to your heart. These are the joys of Christian living, not accumulating things, things, things. You don't need a lot of things. A nice little place to live in and sit down with this book. A brother was telling us about it. It will thrill you. But we read on. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. That's our position. What is our practice? What is our practice? The practice of nearness to the Lord. There are, in the world of music, and many of you know this, three symphonies that are entitled unfinished symphonies. Perhaps the best known one, is the one by Schubert. Famous unfinished symphony, and I see his sister shaking her head. Oh, we'll get to him. Schubert's unfinished. Now, we don't know why it was unfinished. He was a very forgetful man, you know. One day he went to a restaurant to eat, and on the back of the menu, he wrote out some music. The waitress knew who he was and knew that he was forgetful, so she kept this piece of music. And when he returned a few months later, she presented it to him and said, "What do you think of this?" And Schubert, you know, was very forgetful. He said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. Whoever wrote it is pretty good." That's how forgetful he was. So we don't know why the symphony is unfinished, because he forgot to finish it, or whether he didn't want to finish it. We don't know. Now, many people have tried to finish that symphony. And you can always tell where Schubert stopped and where the second man began. But there is one more. I won't take Beethoven. I'm going to take Béla Bartók. He wrote a symphony which he did not finish before his death. Another man finished the symphony. And when you hear it, you cannot tell where Bartók stopped and where the second man began. Why? Why do you think? Because the second man lived with Bartók. He talked with Bartók. He ate with Bartók. He walked with Bartók. Bartók. He knew him so well, he could finish the symphony. That's the way the Lord wants us to know him. Our position is in him. What is our practice? That's the important thing. We are to walk with him. He walks with me, is it true? And talks with me? I'm going to stop soon. I want to show you something. Things come to mind. I didn't plan to say this. But you know, before I left New York, I was responsible for a lovely group of young people. You see, I didn't just start to like young people. I liked them way back then. And these consisted of high school graduates, college people, and those who were, well, considering marriage. We had all of them in this class. And one of them said to me, we were talking about the voice of the Lord, and she was supposed to have gotten me. She said, "Well, what does the voice of the Lord sound like?" And they nudged each other. They were supposed to have the teacher now. I'm supposed to describe the sound of the Lord's voice. I said, "Well, all right. Do you know your mother's voice and how it sounds?" "Why, yes. Stand up and describe it so that wherever I hear it, I will know it." And that stopped that. Oh, yes, that was the end of that. Now, we read in the Word of God. You remember the word of the Lord to Elijah? When Elijah heard the voice of the Lord, still, small voice. If you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, you've got to keep still. You can't hear it in a huff and a hustle here and there. You've got to stay still. One translation renders it a gentle, soft whisper. I like that. That means you've got to give attention. Oh, child of God, if you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, get so near and keep so still, and he'll talk to you. He'll tell you things. And I'm not talking about hearing things, and I'm not talking about being out of your mind and seeing things. I'm talking about the Lord speaking to you. You remember when the Lord spoke to Samson Samuel the first time? He didn't know the Lord's voice. Come with me, please, to chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. And I think this will be our closing point. It is possible to get close to the Lord that you cannot nearer be. And when you're there, listen to him. Before I tell you this, let me tell you what happened when our children were quite small. Right? Oh, I guess they were in kindergarten. And it was the oldest daughter's birthday. So she had a number of little friends, brought all these friends together. And you know how it is with little children. You got to keep them busy or they get bored. They start early to get bored. So, one of the mothers there sat them down in a semicircle. You're all familiar with this. You've seen it. And she wrote something down. And she whispered what she wrote to the first child. And said, now you whisper it to the second. And they went all around. They were about 15. Then she said to number 15, stand and tell us what you heard. You know the rest. No relationship to what she told the first. Why? They weren't listening. Child of God, if we are going to know God's mind, we've got to get near to him and listen and keep quiet. Gentle, soft whisper. That's the volume of his voice. Now, as I said, when Samuel first heard that voice, he didn't know it. Chapter 8, 1 Samuel. Verse 21. This happens to us all the time. We do this all the time, don't we? Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. We do that all the time, don't we? We're always telling the Lord things. Which is all right. Chapter 9. Verse 15. How often does this happen? The Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before. When is the last time the Lord told you something in your ear? That's the issue. It's time to stop. I think you got the message. Three words for kinsmanship, but they are not the same in the original. The first one is a matter of acquaintance. You're acquainted with the Lord. You know about him. The second one is a matter of being near to him. But the third one is the one that I pray every believer here will realize, being next to him. So near, so very near to God. Nearer we cannot be. In the person of God's Son, we are as near as he. You can't get nearer. May the Lord grant that this may be our desire and that we may accomplish it in our lives. Not to walk afar off, but to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. And he'll shed glory on our way. It's been a joy being with you. I want to thank you again for your kind invitation and trust that the Lord will bless us all for Christ's sake.